Turn over with me to Psalm 105 again. I want to use verse 1 as a platform, as a starting point tonight. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." This coming Thursday is a national holiday. Thanksgiving. And I love Thanksgiving. I love it. And I was thinking about the fact that we were not going to have a Wednesday night service. And so I thought, well, Sunday night we're going to talk about thanks. I don't believe that on Thanksgiving Day I feel any more thankful than I do any other day. Really. I love the day. I love being together. I love family time. But for a believer, every day is Thanksgiving Day. Every single day. And in light of this coming Thursday, I started thinking about things that I am thankful for. And wrote a few of them down. I thought of 7 of them. And really, there's so many, but I thought of 7 things in particular. 7 things that I am thankful for. And all I want to do tonight is show you those 7 things. All right? 7 things that I personally am thankful for. Go with me over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says, "For God so loved." Do you know where this whole thing started? We stand up here and we preach the gospel, and we know what the gospel is. And do you know where this whole gospel started? It started with love. The whole thing started with love. Verse 16 right there says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." For God so loved. Christ did not redeem us. And he did not cleanse us. And he did not make us holy and make us righteous so that God would love us. That's what's amazing about it. He didn't do all that for us so God would love us. This verse of scripture right here says, "Because God so loved." That's why Christ redeemed us and cleansed us and made us holy, and made us righteous. It's because God loved us. Go over to Romans 5 with me. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," while we were yet sinners, "Christ died for us." Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan of purpose. Love. Love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Love. Why did he die? Why did he die? It's because he loved us. That's why. I am so thankful that our God is love. Our God is holy. Our God is just. Our God is right. He will punish sin. He's angry with the wicked, but our God is love. He is love. And I'm so thankful for that. That's the first thing I'm thankful for. Love, the love of God to sinners like me and you. Here's the second. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11, look at verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." I am so thankful for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the love of God toward sinners. And I'm so thankful for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners have no idea what is waiting for them on the other side. There's going to come a final day for each one of us. And sinners have no idea what is waiting on the other side. A woman recently decided to take her own life, and she called it dying with dignity. Dying with dignity. If she left this earth without Christ, I promise you she is right now wishing she was back on this earth suffering from whatever it is she was suffering from. It's infinite mercy compared to what a soul endures on the other side without Jesus Christ. We could never enter in to what mercy has been given to us through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Isaiah, don't turn there. Isaiah 53 says this. It says that our Lord's body was despised. It was rejected. It was full of sorrows, and it was full of grief. It says his body was stricken. It was smitten of God. It was afflicted. We could never enter into what that means. Smitten of God and afflicted. Never. It says his body was wounded, bruised, chastised, and full of stripes. It says his body went through the same thing that a lamb goes through at the slaughter. Isaiah 52 says his body was more marred than any man has ever been. As sinners against God, that's what's waiting for you and me on the other side. That's what's waiting for you and me on the other side. But in this verse of Scripture right here, he says, "Here. Here is my body, which was broken for you. I endured everything that was waiting for you." Thank God for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, God became a man. God loved. Christ came. Thank God for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 30 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Everything he suffered and everything that he accomplished has been applied to us." Every single thing. "For we are members of his body." All that punishment was given to us in his body. Every single bit of it. All of the glory that he received because of that redemption has been given to us in his body. We are members of his body, of his bone, of his flesh. Thank God for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for the love of God. And I'm so thankful for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the third thing. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, look at verse 18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." I thank God for the precious blood of the Lamb. Everything that I have ever done has been washed away in a flood of precious blood. Everything I've ever done. Every person in this room has got something that will not be erased from their memory. Something they've done. Some transgression against this law, God's law. And it will not go away, and it eats at you, and it gnaws at you. But everything I have ever done has been washed away in a flood of precious blood. They're gone because of the blood of Christ. His body paid my debt. His blood gave me a brand new record, an absolute clean slate. Why? Because God loved me. That's why. Thank God for his precious blood. "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." We sing that song, "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name." I am so thankful for that blood, because he said when he sees that blood, he will pass over me. He's going to pass over me. I'm so grateful for his love. I'm so grateful for his body. I'm so grateful for his blood. Here's the fourth thing. Look right here in 1 Peter 1, verse 21. "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." I am so thankful for his calling. I am so thankful that he opened my eyes to the truth. Opened my eyes that I may see. I am so grateful that he put faith in this heart to believe God. He put it there. It did not exist before. And he put it there, and now I get to believe the gospel. I get to believe the gospel. While so many people are saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't care what it says. I don't believe that. I get to believe the gospel. Do I get the glory for it? No way. I get to believe the gospel. I have been chosen, hand selected, to believe the gospel. Do you realize what grace that is? What mercy that is? What a high honor of God that is? I get to believe the gospel. Why won't people believe? Why won't people just believe? They can't. They can't. They can't. It's got to be bestowed in love and in mercy and in grace and in favor. They've got to be chosen from the heart of God to be a recipient of love and faith. We were chosen to be allowed to believe the gospel. It's a high heavenly honor. God has allowed us to see His holiness. He has allowed us to see His sovereignty. He has allowed us to see His glory and to see His mercy. And the calling that He gives is what brings us rest and comfort and peace. When the whole world is just torn all to pieces over every nuclear missile and every... we get to rest. Do we have troubles? Yes, we do. But ultimately, we get to rest. We get to trust Christ. When nobody else is trusting Christ, I've been allowed the calling of trusting Christ. And I thank God for that. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His word is now a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word that no one outside of His calling understands. Nobody. Well, you can't understand that. That's why we got to have a new translation and a new translation and a new translation. Because this one doesn't make sense. Oh, but it does. Go over to Ephesians 1 with me. Ephesians 1 verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. We are not in darkness over what is awaiting us. Could you imagine what it would be like if you really had no idea what came after what the earth calls death? What's waiting out there? Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. We are not scared of the unknown. We know who God is. We know who God is. I told you before about that man. I heard him perform a wedding, and at the end of it, he was thanking God. And then he said, whomever he or she may be, we know who God is. We know who the God is that we're going to have to go stand before. We know who the Christ is who stood for us, who gave His body and His blood. I'm so thankful for that. He called us out of darkness into light. I'm grateful for His love. I'm grateful for His body, His blood, and his calling. His calling. Here's number five. This one is especially personal to me. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 7 says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I am so thankful for his ministry. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I really am. I am so, so grateful. I get to preach the gospel. I get to preach the gospel. I'm grateful for that. I did not put myself in this position. I know for a fact I didn't. I also know for a fact that no man put me in this position. I was called into this ministry. And you know what? So were you. So were you. You were called into his ministry. We have this ministry. You've been called to do everything that it is that you do for his honor and for his glory. Every bit of it. I am so grateful for everything that he's laid on the hearts of each one of his believers for the declaration of the riches of Christ. I'm grateful for that. His love, his body, his blood, his calling, his ministry. And I'm grateful for that. Here's number six. Go with me to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 3 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." I thank God for you. I really do. I really do. What would this life be without you? What would this life be without you? Could you imagine if you really believed, "I stand alone. Here I stand, I can do no other." Elijah thought he stood alone. What would this life be without you? And when I say you, I mean all of the you that are in Christ. That's who I'm talking to. Scattered all over the world. What would life be like without you? I am so thankful for each one of you. I am grateful for Hannah. I'm grateful that the Lord gave us children. I am grateful for your children. It is such a blessing for this ministry that God has given us children. It is such a blessing. It makes me have hope that there's longevity here. Maybe the gospel will have a free course here, and maybe the Lord will be merciful to souls here. And I'm just thankful. Very thankful. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, But as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I thank God for calling out sheep who believe this truth and have like precious faith with me in Christ. David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." This is the best thing I have on this earth, is right here. And I love you and I thank God for you. I thank God for His love, His body, His blood, His calling, His ministry, and I thank God for you. Number 7. And we're never going to run out of things to be thankful for, ever. This is not the last thing to be thankful for. It's just the last thing I'm going to mention tonight. Go over to John 14. I told you the other day, and I mean it, whenever I see what's going on in this world, I become troubled. I just become troubled. My lack of faith and I just get scared. I can't help it. I just get scared. And I pray that the Lord would increase my faith and cause me to rest in Christ and not be so worried. I want that. I really do. But this world is so violent. I worry for our children. This world is so violent and it's just so wicked. And I know that there is no good end for this world. It's going to keep going down, and it's going to keep going down, and it's going to keep going down. Look right here at John 14, verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thank God He is coming back. He will not leave us here in this cesspool of sin. He said, there is a place of safety. There is a place of refuge. There is a world of love and peace and security. And I am going to prepare a place for you. I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I thank God so much for the promise of His return. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 4. Don't turn there. Let me just tell you what it says. It says He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. That's what it says. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 3 says that He's going to bring all of our brothers and sisters with Him. They're all going to come with Him. And then He's going to take us to a place that He calls paradise. And He's going to dwell there with us forever, and He's going to be our God, and He is going to dry our tears. David said this. He said, "I would have fainted going through this life, going through the troubles of this life, going through all the worries. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I cannot wait to see the land of the living. All these eyes can see is the land of death. There's some eyes of faith right here that is seeing them through a glass darkly, but I can't wait to see the land of the living. Thank God He is coming back for us. Thank God. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? And I pray that He'll cause me to think on Him Thursday. While everybody's gathering together and our families are gathering together, we can gather together in spirit, no matter where we are, and collectively thank our God for everything He's done. Make His works known among the people. All right, let's stand together.